We're back here, and we're back here with Representative Roger Victory. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning. Good morning, Jude. It's always a fine to be in the studio with you again.
Things are slowed down a little bit in Lansing, right?
That they have, but they're going to be heating up here fairly soon in September, taking on some issues. But we do have one item that's facing us yet here in August, and that is the we'll have session on August 27th dealing with the hunting petition to ratify that hunting petition to allow the Natural Resources Commission to determine what species are hunted and not hunted in the state of Michigan.
That puts the wolf issue up there.
It's a component of the wolf issue there, and it's important to that be addressed because when you're dealing with a wolf issue, we have 3% of the population that's being affected by it, and their voice needs to be heard, and this is one of the tools to allow that voice to be heard because it's their livestock, it's their pets, and it's their children that are at risk.
Very true, and that's mostly in the Upper Peninsula, isn't it?
That's right. So their voice needs to be heard, and this is one of the tools to make sure we have total representation in the state of Michigan.
The wolves get across that bridge somehow, don't they?
Yeah, well, so far, now this winter, it was frozen over, so an aggressive animal could have made it across. Who knows? It may have one or two that took that option.
Well, I always think, you know, when people say that, well, you got to worry about them down here, and true, we do, because the deer started up there, and they came down here, and the bears started up there, they came down here.
Yep, and that's why it's important to have a group like the Natural Resource Commission, and they use sound science, and they allow what can be done and protect us and manage our great resources and preserve that right to hunt. It's a great tradition here in the state of Michigan, and we need to preserve that.
What's the feeling in the House? You think it'll...
I believe it should go through the House. I know a number of my colleagues from the UP are true advocates on that, good friends and colleagues in there. This is a bipartisan issue. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue.
Right, wolves don't know the difference.
No, that's right. It's not a D or an R issue. This is something to preserve our hunting virtues and that heritage that we have here in the state of Michigan.
Got a call coming in. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Good morning. Good morning, Roger. On this wolf issue, I think we ought to hunt them on a limited basis, keep the population down. And I understand there's some people from California trying to influence the Michigan state legislatures to vote against it. But, Roger, let's kill a few of them. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, the caller brought in the issue. It's we need to use sound science to manage these resources we have and should not placate to special interest groups that might be based in California, Colorado. And how do they know what our needs are and how they and they don't live in the UP. And, it's not their pets, livestock, or children at risk.
Right, right. So I think that, I'd go along with that, too, because I don't want the wolf at my door.
No, that's right. So, and again, this is a bipartisan issue, and it's not an R or D issue. It's something just, it's important that we...
I don't plan on hunting them, but nonetheless.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
I want to be able to shoot them if they're at my door.
Well, again, make sure that we have, use sound science and determine what species we hunt and not using outside influence groups.
You're getting around to some of your meetings now that you ordinarily don't talk to people. And
well, and one exciting area will be it's a Hudsonville Fair coming up this week.
I think you
were mentioning that on the radio here a few moments ago. But this is the last of the three county fairs we have here in Ottawa County. It's the Hudsonville Community Fair, and wrapping up the fair season for the county here. But there again, we have our young people displaying their livestock display items, their 4-H projects and FFA projects, and it's a good thing to get out and see, and along good entertainment, and meet some friends and family.
That's what the fair is really for.
That's right. Bring the community together. That creates that strength of the community, and which is a great thing about living here in West Michigan, having the opportunities such as these fairs and community events get together. So I'm looking forward to spending several nights there in a couple of different roles and possibly attending the youth livestock sale and see what good animals come up for auction and see if I can participate as I have done in the past.
You'll probably talk to a lot of your constituents, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This is a great opportunity. If you see your elected officials there at the county fairs, maybe a township official, county commissioner, or state representative or senator, speak your mind. We're there to listen. And then take that word to Lansing or to the county or to the township.
All right. Good morning. You're online with our representative here this morning.
Yeah, Juke, he was just talking about the Hudsonville Fair.
Yeah.
And being there at night to shake hands and whatnot. And I was wondering if you have a schedule of what night the tractor pulls are, because there's going to be thousands of guys there that he can shake hands with.
I don't have my...
I think I do have, this evening we have the antique and farm stock tractors, and I'm planning on being there for that. And then tomorrow night, I believe they have some more of the tractor pulls going on. And I'll actually be in one of the booths for the Ottawa County Republican Party. That I'll be manning that or taking on that position from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And I'll be also engaging throughout the fairgrounds. So
okay.
It's my my intention to keep myself readily available. I remember the years ago I used to show a 4-H project there at the Hudsonville Community Fair. It was a highlight of our summer, worked hard on the farm, and that was our vacation time come the Fair.
Well, I know those tractor pulls are a big draw, so
that they do.
There.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Looking forward to seeing you there. Come on out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Okay. I'll bring my Rumley oil pull out there.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's not very many of those around anymore.
No, that's old school there.
All right. We're here with Roger Victory, and if you have a question for Roger, you can call us at 395-1450. Our line is open for you. And as you get around to talk to these people, what's some of the things that you get as feedback?
Well, one issue that actually was brought to my attention is as our economy continues to improve, is there are some of these jobs that they don't have the training for our young people for. And one of the areas is CDL. That's a commercial driver license.
Mm-hmm.
And can we incorporate some of that training, such as at our Career Line Tech Center or at our vocational centers? And one of the concerns that brought up, these students are age 17, but yet would they be able to get some training? Because the training need to be 18 or not. So we're doing some work to do a little clarification. Can a 17-year-old be involved in training for a CDL license under guidance of a trained professional and move forward? Because there's a great need in that process. So we're just began the initial research on this project. And if there's some laws or some modification that needs to be done, I think this is a opportunity to provide that skill-based workforce for our employers and give opportunity for our young people to have these good-paying jobs in our community. But just streamline the process and see once this is a tool that can be available going forward. And so we're working on that as we speak.
Yeah, I always see this truck driving school down on M40, and I've never gone to it, but...
Exactly, but we were looking into it. Can we offer a one-year program and some of these vocational training areas offered at the high school level? But is there some roadblocks in place that would prevent that from happening? So before we implement a program, we want to make sure those roadblocks are removed, and would it be possible?
All right. Good morning. You're online with Roger.
Hey, sorry. I was out of sight. I was pulled for an ambulance.
Okay.
Well, let's not interfere with that issue. I think they have let's them take care of that. Yes.
No. You've heard about the highway situation we have out here on M40, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess MDOT will deal with that.
In fact, MDOT had a meeting last week.
Yes, they did.
Regarding that, and I think they received some good public input on that process. They had something like three different options, and I've been hearing some people voicing their concerns over the various options. And I appreciate MDOT reaching out to the community, engaging with the community, because in order to make the correct solution, you need community involvement. So I appreciate MDOT's involvement. I've talked to those personnel on that and encourage them to make sure we get the right solution for that.
Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Yeah, I'd like to ask him a question. I live in Ottawa County, and all these coyotes we got, what can we do about them coyotes? Should we put a bounty on so that they hunt them?
Well, that brings a good issue forward. In the past, we used to have bounties on some of these predatory animals.
On Fox, they did years ago,
That's right. And there's an active group of people who hunt coyotes and make a good sport of that process. And there again, That's where we have the Natural Resources Commission. They review this and make sure they manage our these resources to at a basis using sound science. So that's where we rely on Natural Resources Commission and our Department of Natural Resources too to determine what is a proper hunting technique of these
animals. They're open. You can shoot them predators all year long, right? When they kill these little deer, they kill these baby deer real readily.
Well, I don't want. I can't say definitely in what areas, what species for sure. I would consult their natural resources officer on that process. But if you also want more clarification, please call my office at 517-373-1830. And if you had any questions, we will get you the correct information because I don't want to have you in any type of violation of the law. So that's
okay.
You got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And another call coming in right now. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Yeah, good morning. You get brought up the issue of M40 south of Holland.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Maybe there could be a road widening, but I think instead of turnarounds, if they had a red light, that would be their most economical way of handling it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's my position, that we ought to have a red light there,
yeah,
and not turnaround. Turnarounds cost a pile of money.
Yeah, and they're a pain in the neck too.
And some people just don't like them and can't get used to them. It seems like. So anyway, that's my feeling. Maybe widen the road a little bit there someplace and put in a red light, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a caller brought in the roundabout, one issue I have with roundabouts, they might have their place in some of the residential areas, but when you have a high traffic area with commercial trucks and some of the multiple axle trucks, when you're turning those multiple axle trucks, there's a lot of wear and tear, and that's a high truck traffic area. So there's some areas roundabouts have a good option, and I believe in areas where there's heavy truck traffic, such as what that area we're talking there, it's tough on the truck equipment, and it's also tough on the roads.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
And so there's a time and place for all these solutions, and hopefully that was brought up, and I highlighted that to MDOT too.
I see these double-bottom gravel trucks, mm-hmm. and I think, how are they going to get through the roundabout?
And when you're making that turn, just watch those tires and what stress and strain that puts on the truck and the pavement at the same time.
Very true. Very true.
But in a residential area where there's limited truck traffic, a roundabout might be a plausible solution.
All right.
You know, before we were off the air, I was mentioning to you there's a cruise ship in town.
Yes.
Too bad that the water temperature was a little warmer, so those guests that are here in Holland could enjoy some pure Michigan water there in Lake Michigan. But,
that's right.
Unless they're more acclimated to cooler water temperature. But it's quite an amazing sight, that large ship there at Verplanck's Dock.
It is.
Good to see those tourists coming into the Holland area, spending those dollars and helping grow our economy here.
Yeah.
Exciting things.
They're bound to spend some bucks.
I hope
there.
So. Yep.
Well, that's a few years ago, but I talked to the yachtsmen down in Saugatuck. They said, well, anytime they come to Saugatuck for a weekend, they spend at least $200.
Incredible. Those are important to our economy and to our business community here.
It is. All right. 395-1450 if you'd like to talk to Roger this morning. How's the farming going?
Well, we're approaching that month of late August, so the produce harvest continues on.
Yeah.
Celery fields in Hudsonville are being harvested, a nice-looking crop of celery out there with a little cooler weather. Onions are being harvested as we speak, and I heard you on the air, too, the blueberry season's moving along, getting toward the tail end of that there. And also now we start some of those fall crops, such as the winter squash, the acorn, butternut, and spaghetti, and those type of items. That's starting to be harvested at this point in time, and the apple harvest will soon be coming in swing here. And so all those amazing things that those good, healthy, nutritious foods that we produce here in West Michigan and ship throughout the whole United States, and it may be destined for Florida, East Coast, the Carolinas, but that's a vital part of our economy here in the state of Michigan and right here in West Michigan.
Yeah. Over the weekend, I had a dinner which included fresh cucumbers,
mm-hmm.
fresh corn, and fresh potatoes.
Well, yes. Sound delicious. Well-balanced diet there, Jute.
Yeah. Didn't really need anything else.
The good staples of it all there.
Yeah.
So, no, the harvest continues going along well, and fortunately, we avoid that heavy rainfall they had in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
And that was
we had good rain here.
That's I noticed you had some rain here. Was it a Saturday evening or so?
Yes, yes.
I know I left the farm, and our irrigation systems were all still working, so we could use a shower rain. It's been very spotty.
Yeah.
But that kind of leads me into an issue, too, that we know Lake Erie and that algae bloom we had there for the city of Toledo. And I serve on the Agricultural Committee and Natural Resources Committee, and I'm sure that some areas that might be up to discussion. But here in the state of Michigan, we have a program called MEEP, the Michigan Agricultural Environmental Insurance Program. And this has helped our Michigan producers to be proactive and make sure that we're using the proper nutrients on our soils, not over-applying it. And hopefully there's not a knee-jerk reaction in this whole scheme of discussion here, but our Michigan growers and farmers have been proactive, and this is a program that has been signed into law by the Governor Snyder. It was his first law that he signed into law when he became governor, and it's helped move being Michigan much more proactive in our agricultural production. And Lake Erie, that's a basin from Ohio. You have Canada and a touch of Michigan there, too. So as we go forward, I'm sure this will be on the radar screen, but we definitely want to preserve this MEEP program because it's a very proactive program we have here in the state of Michigan, and it helps our farmers to be preserve the environment, which is they're passionate about, and also provide that sustainable food sources to our general public.
I think we got a call coming in. Yes, we do. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Good morning, Duke, and good morning, Roger. Roger, a question. I don't know if you could help me with this or not, but of interest locally here. Our fishing industry here out of Holland with our Lake Mecotawa, which feeds into Lake Michigan, how or who do we see about helping get some fish stocked into our lake area here? So we can improve our local citizen fishing or sport fishing into our lake here on this side of the state. It seems we don't hear anything about anything like that going on. And it would be nice to get this waterways cleaner and more suitable for the industry because it is a multi-million dollar industry. And with cruise ships coming in and things like that, I think we can grow families getting out to the lake and fishing if we get it stocked. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that call, and I wouldn't mind following up with this caller. If you please contact my office in Lansing, because I serve on the Natural Resources Committee there, and I would like to bring this forth to Director Keith Cray and make sure that find out are those resources being in play here in West Michigan adequately, and is if there's a need, and I'm sure the Department of Natural Resources will indicate what kind of program we've been have in play here. And if there's any more work that needs to be done, I would sure like to be in the forefront of it. So that's a great call, and please contact me at my office, and I can do a little follow-up on it and see if there's some more work to be done.
Yeah, I talked to a few fishermen, and they're a little disappointed in fishing. And they'll
have those seasonal trends on the process. But, Lake Mecotawa could be a great fishing resource there. And is it being utilized to its best capacity? And that's where we just make a call to
somebody. One fisherman says, well, I wouldn't need anything out of this lake.
Yeah. So, well, the quality of the water has been improved. We've been putting these initiatives forward.
Right.
And remember, that's not the same lake that we talked about 30 years ago.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
What are you fishing for? Oh, white bass and bluegills and all that good stuff. Got a call here. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Good morning again, Juke and Roger. To follow up, I thank you for showing your interest in my question and the topic of improving fishing here. Our Lake Mecotawa is known for fishing, but it's not the kind of fish we can eat or would like to take home. It's basically a lot of garbage fish here, and it's overpopulated from what many of us that do fish think. We got sheephead and carp by the tons here, when we know if we can clean some of that out, we can get some really good sport fish in here, even with the main access onto Lake Michigan. But as far as I know, for a number of years, I've only seen maybe one or two times that any kind of stocking has taken place in our area. But I never heard of any follow-up on information from those for the history of what it taken place, if the fish came back, if they survived, mm-hmm. or has anybody caught any of them? Some of us local fishermen don't know none of that, and we'd like to get more information here. So
okay.
I thank
yep.
you, and I will follow up at your office in Lansing. And I thank you again.
Thank you very much, and we would be more than happy to provide that information. If we don't have it readily available, we know the contact people to follow up with.
Yeah. Roger, we're out of time. I thank you very much for being our guest
this morning
here on Talk of the Town.
It's been a great show again. I think
yeah.
we moved the needle forward for our community and had some great calls, and I got my to-do list readily available here.
Great. Good.